the only way that we can navigate change is to be able to articulate where we're going, articulate where we are now, and articulate how we might take the next step to get to where we want to go. And so if we don't understand how to influence through our language, we don't understand how to connect through the words that we use, and we don't understand how to quickly adapt to the language of the people that we're speaking to, we can't get out of the starting gates.
Hi, Smart Community friends. In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I have a fabulous chat with Jacqueline Nagel. Jacqueline is a mentor and coach, teaching people how to speak, sell, and position themselves strategically for business development, and also a very good friend of the podcast. As mentioned in this episode, Jacqueline has played a huge role in creating the Smart Community Podcast, and we are thrilled to have her on as a guest. Jacqueline begins by telling us about her diverse background, her current coaching and mentoring work, and her passion for helping people reach their unfulfilled potential. We then discuss the power of language and communication, how to properly communicate and articulate language to be successful in business and navigate change, before Jacqueline shares with us what a smart community is to her. Jacqueline then shares examples of some of the clients she is currently working with and how she believes technology is crucial for seamless business operation and success. She also shares her communication tips and how intense curiosity is the key to good communication. We then discuss how organizations can set up for change through good communication plans and the ability to be adaptive, and the importance of understanding the needs of your audience to send an intended message. We finish our conversation discussing the emerging trends of the digital divide in some Australian communities, the overuse of the word disruptive, and viewing language as an asset. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Jacqueline. How are you today?
Hi, Zoe. I'm great, even if I'm a little cold.
Cold? I'll tell you about cold. Okay, let's not talk about the weather because we're talking about smart communities. So let's go straight over to you. And can you tell us about your background and what you are passionate about?
So my background is quite diverse. It is a career history that started with recruitment. Actually, to be honest, it started with McDonald's until I was 19 years old and my grandfather told me that there was a traineeship going and I should get my act together and take it up. He didn't want me to be a McDonald's chick my whole life. So I listened to him and I went into a traineeship, and then I fell into a career in recruitment and labour hire, which is probably my favourite sector still, even now. And from there, I went into being an industrial relations consultant, so a union negotiator, not on behalf of the employers, not the unions, doing EBAs and that sort of thing, high-stakes negotiations, lockouts, graffiti on building, all those sorts of stuff, so high stakes. And from there into being CEO of a traffic control company. And in the last 5 years, I've actually been teaching people how to speak, sell, and position themselves strategically for business development, particularly in the professional services space.
And what are you passionate about?
I am really passionate about unfulfilled potential. I hate seeing unfulfilled potential. And what I'm passionate about is giving people the skills that they have to be able to influence the outcomes in their world. So that's sales and speaking and things like that. I'm also very passionate about the fact that language predicates our success or lack thereof, and it's going to become more and more prevalent as we move into a future that's really based on a foundation of AI and technology.
And people might be wondering, so Jacqueline, why are you on the Smart Community Podcast? And the answer I would give, if they were asking me, is because communication is so important in these changing times, which is why I've asked you to come on the podcast. Also, Jacqueline and I do work together, and we've been working together ever since I became My Smart Community and the podcast. So Jacqueline is actually, however we say, like nearly the godmother of the podcast.
I feel like I am.
Yes, because back in the day, we sat around a table and we mapped out what this podcast was going to look like, even though I had no real idea of what I was going to do. but I knew that I wanted to start this podcast. And so I'm surprised that you haven't come on the podcast earlier, and that's all my fault, but I'm excited to have you on now, because I think now more than ever, communication in these times of change is so key. And everything that I've been able to build over this time has been because we laid that foundation early on. And I think there's so many parallels to draw with smart communities, because it is about communicating in different ways. It is about speaking people's language and speaking the language of the audience that you're trying to influence or give something to those messages.
It's quite interesting because people really underrate the power of language, and we talked about it all the time, but the actual practice of becoming deliberate and considered in our language and the words that we use is actually really lacking. And when I first started looking into doing this sort of training and coaching and mentoring, it was 2013 when I first started looking, and then 2015-16 when I got really serious about it. And in 2013, the Carnegie Institute actually said that 85% of any individual's future success was based on their ability to communicate above and beyond any sort of technical skill or education. And I would actually counter that it's actually higher than that now. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And one of them is that we have a proliferation of how we consume information. So now podcasts are the fastest growing sort of medium. We've got video communication. Our C-suite executives can no longer hide behind doors. They have to get out there and speak. And so if it was 85% previously, I would counter that it's 90 to 95% now, simply because of how we communicate in a mass media world. The other thing is that as we have AI, robotics, machine learning, all of these technology platforms really come to the fore, a lot of the general day-to-day things are taken care of. And what is left is our ability to impact the world around us through the words that we use. So if we can't influence people through the language that we have, we're going to be actually relegated to the world of the bots and the machine learning. And our worlds become really insular. In times of change, which, you know, everyone at the moment talks about, and especially with Australia right now, and this will timestamp it a little, but we're in the middle of more than half our population is in lockdown. There's this chaos and change and relentless restriction and things like that. And then you also layer over the top of that technology, what's coming with our smart futures and smart communities. The only way that we can navigate change is to be able to articulate where we're going, articulate where we are now, and articulate how we might take the next step to get to where we want to go. And so if we don't understand how to influence through our language, we don't understand how to connect through the words that we use, and we don't understand how to quickly adapt to the language of the people that we're speaking to, we can't get out of the starting gates.
Yeah, that is so true. And I think it's so important in building these smart communities, because we can have the best ideas in the world and they might, you know, save lots of time, money, resources, improve people's lives. But if we can't get the message out there in a way that people trust it and that they can continue to engage with it and that it comes to them in a form that they understand, that they feel like they can be part of the conversation, then we're never going to get anywhere. Like, how many great ideas do we even know of that couldn't get out of the starting gate because somebody gave up after they said, oh, well, I told someone once about it and, you know, they didn't like it.
And I've also seen the opposite. You know, when I was in my industrial relations, labor hire and then industrial relations days, one of the most powerful workforce profiling tool I've ever seen, and it still exists, but it was a thing called the WRDI Diagnostic Indicator. So a really long name and probably pertinent to a number of people in your audience. It was developed by a civil engineer who had a midlife crisis and went into psychology. So the tool was robust, powerful. I loved it. I was fully accredited in it. And I was so interested in it, but he never got it outside of his own lunchbox, so to speak. So he had flashes of brilliance where he picked up great clients like big national brands, but he wouldn't let go of it enough to market it properly and get the communications right and be able to communicate to people the real value. And because of that, it's never got bigger than just what he can physically do himself. And that's an incredible tragedy, because it is not just a great idea. He's actually got a great tool and it has not gone where it should be. It should be as big as Gallup and all of the others that we actually understand and know. But because he's never actually invested in communicating his own skills in that area, it didn't go where it could have gone. And it breaks my heart when I see that.
And there's going to be so many, I guess, startups, initiatives, you know, applications that could really improve people's lives, but just due to that communication factor, it won't get out there. Yes. Okay. I want to zoom up or down or across or out to smart communities. So what is a smart community to you?
A smart community is one where we're connected, and connection is technology. It is using services in a better way. It is common language and common messaging. So a smart community now is actually taking advantage of all the available technology and all the available resources and information and bringing in the AI and the robotics, the machine learning, not just to improve our processes and make things more efficient, but to, you know, I'm working with a drone technology company at the moment, which I love to bits. And one of the things that they're really invested in is using the technology that comes with drones to improve capability, improve safety. It can actually even improve the quality of livestock in feedlots, right? So smart community is finding a way to use what exists already in a different way and use this technology to leverage what we already do.
Mm-hmm. And I like that example too, because it brings it to improving quality of life. And we're not talking about humans there, but we're talking about animals, which are also very, very important. And I've had Marcus Fott on the podcast, who also talked about that more than human element. So the environment, animals, et cetera, which I just love. But also what you said there about resources, I think is so key, because, you know, we're wasting resources now purely because we haven't seen the solution in front of our eyes necessarily, but also, and it's not necessarily that it's sitting there waiting for us to do it, but it's actually it's waiting for us to think a little bit differently and work with whoever it is that has this solution or this idea or this process that can actually save a lot of resources, and resources in time, money, physical resources, environmental resources, and also mental resources as well. Like, there are so many things that people are frustrated by just because they have to do it every day and it makes no sense. But there's no process for them to say, this makes no sense, or no safe process, as in, you know, feeling safe in the conversation to go, this doesn't make any sense. How can we improve this?
I think that's actually really important as well, Zoe, because one of the things that just bubbled up for me then was it's actually about not working in silos. So a smart community to me is connected not just in technology, but we get rid of the silos so that things that don't make sense here, we can take a bigger look and we can look at how we can actually shift things around across the entire chessboard to make more sense, more efficiency, more safety, whatever it might be. But it's, you know, smart community is not connected just by technology. It's connected full stop, and it breaks down silos.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that breaking down of silos is something that is getting talked more about, but how important that is. I just had a conversation just before we got on the call about that in particular, where it's like, well, I want my smart city strategy to actually be able to facilitate me talking to other areas within, you know, my organization. And I was like, yes, that's what this should do, because if it doesn't, then you're just creating another silo of, oh, well, that's a smart city thing over there, and oh, that's not anything to do with me because I do assets, which can't be the case, because it just can't be, because it has to be integrated across the whole thing, because otherwise, you know, there's no point.
And you find when people still operating in silos, they might be using great technology platforms and AI, robotics, machine learning, the whole lot, but because they're operating in silos, there's no efficiency between departments, between organizations, between community sectors. Instead of going, how are these things all going to talk together, which is communication machine style, how are these things all going to talk together? It's just when we're in silos, we have all these different systems and none of them still talk to each other, so we're actually no smarter.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, that's a really good way to step into, tell us about the projects and things that you're currently working on in this space.
So in the space of, I guess, my relationship to smart communities is more about the people that I work with to build their businesses and leverage their consultancies. So as you know, Zoe, I work with you and have for the last 4 or 5 years, and this is predominantly what I do. So I coach people in speaking, professional speaking, subject matter expert speaking. I coach people in sales and business development because cash flow and sales is oxygen to any business. But I work a lot with people in the smart space. So some of my clients include Elisa Choi, who you've already had on the podcast. She's working with AI from an economics perspective and a market trending perspective. So she's actually using everything to be able to look at the complete internet market data in a heartbeat and interpret that to trending. I really love that. I mentioned already that I'm working with the drone technology consultants who actually, they don't sell the drones and the boxes. They go in with organizations in defense and public sector and agriculture, and they work out what is the actual problem we're trying to solve here? What is the information we need to collect? And what can we set up so that it just feeds into your systems and gives you better data for better decisions? So I love that. And it's actually, like, you know, I mentioned about the feedlots, and then there's also too, when it comes to agriculture, it's instead of fertilizing an entire paddock, for example, you identify the areas that need attention and only fertilize those. You identify, and years ago when I was in a vineyard, I had shareholding in a vineyard, and we went to visit it in the Barossa, and this is 15 years ago now, and they had the technology to adapt the drip water per vine. So those sorts of things really excite me. From a connectivity perspective, just working with people who are doing projects in civil construction, who are doing projects. And what I'm noticing now, and it's a distinct difference to 2 years ago, is 80% of my clients have to have some form of technology base. So if they don't have some form of technology base, AI application, machine learning or robotics, they have a very limited future pipeline. So the ones that are really lifting and doing great work, no matter what their space, it's kind of like I'm learning by osmosis the technology and the AI that goes underneath all of these businesses now, even in labor hire. You know, we're looking at some incredible machine learning and AI in the labor hire onboarding and candidate management process, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah. And I think there's so much, and even just in digital platforms and things like that, right? It's part of all of our businesses, and it kind of has to be. And even the systems behind our businesses, because if we're still, you know, I think about when I started the podcast, right? This is a very basic example of me going back and forth with somebody about, oh, what time can you meet? Oh, you're in this time zone. Oh, okay. And, you know, it would explode my brain. And also I'm just like, what's happening here? And also it was very short periods of time that I would have to do that. So it didn't seem like a super inefficient process to me. But when I added it up, I realized how inefficient it was. And also then I had to think about it later. So we put systems in place that people book in a time. It works for everybody. It's in their time zone. They can reschedule. They can cancel. They can move things around. And they answer all the questions before they get to the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very simple example and quite an obvious one that, of course, you're not going to go back and forth with someone. And maybe we'll still do, though.
Yeah. But it also reminds me, you know, when I was first doing labour hire contracts, and we had labour hire contracts across Australia, and we did a lot of driving. I averaged 80 to 100,000 kilometres a year in driving. And people say to me now, that like, why would you drive that much? Why would you just fly? And it was like, because as soon as you got 30 kilometres from the East Coast, you had VPN dial-up, but most of the time it didn't work. You had ABC radio and nothing else. And quite often that was intermittent. And within 50 kilometres, you had to go to CB radio because your mobile phone would drop out. And we had to actually take duplicates of all of our client files, employee files, and everything we were working on in meetings with us because we couldn't guarantee we could dial up. So we would have boots full of archive boxes driving to client sites. And so it wasn't efficient to actually fly because we couldn't take the documentation.
And you also can't fly to some of those places, right? You would have to drive anyway.
And now, though, if I have to take more than my iPad, I get cranky.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, why would I, if I've got to actually load up more than my iPad, I now have a Remarkable, which I love. If I have to take more than my iPad, my Remarkable and my phone, I'm annoyed. And when you think about the technology that exists that we take for granted very quickly, that keeps us completely connected and able to move. And, you know, even in this last lockdown, snap lockdown in Queensland, because we're fortunate so far, it's only been a snap lockdown. Like previous lockdowns was everyone sort of took it as code for take a break. This lockdown, nothing changed. And some of my clients moved our appointments and meetings to online before I did, right? We knew how to move with the technology we've got, with the enhancements that's been made in the last 18 months, to have seamless operation of our business. Now, I'm not in hospitality or bricks and mortar, so it's different. But those of us who are knowledge-based businesses, we actually have this incredible technology at our hands now that keeps us totally connected. And connectivity is actually not becoming the currency of choice. Your ability to communicate well through a camera and through spoken word is becoming the currency of choice.
Mm-hmm. Let's go there now. Obviously, communication is really important. But tell us some of the nuggets of gold of why it's so important and what you've discovered in the past, you know, however many years you've been working in this space, of the impact of communication.
Look, there's something that I have distilled down into over the period of time into what I'm calling the five languages of influence. And what that is the most, we can go very complex with our language and with our questions, with our sales processes, with our speaking. So number one observation is that when I was in human resources and industrial relations, people would buy these amazing HR systems, software, install them and go, it doesn't work because they still had to put the data in it, right? So I liken sales and speaking and negotiation and pitching skills to exactly the same. You know, the best processes and products and businesses in the world, but if you can't communicate it, it's like the software system off the shelf. It gets installed, but it doesn't go anywhere. So that's the first thing I noticed. The second thing I noticed was that people don't actually invest in the words that they use. They're not deliberate and considered, and they're very unaware of where they inadvertently take conversations and inadvertently take sales and inadvertently take audiences. So it's actually not understanding how powerful our words are. The other thing is that every single blog, it seems, talks about the power of rapport. You need to build rapport, and it's all about mirroring and matching and all this sort of stuff. And that's manipulative, and most of us know that now. The biggest way that we actually establish rapport is establishing trust between each other, not this manipulative to and fro dance. And the way we establish trust is to use our words to connect at an unconscious level with the people we're speaking with. Now, it sounds complicated, but it's actually really simple. Most people are familiar with the representational systems. Now, we get really excited about that. It's the way we make sense of the world. We're visual, we're auditory, we're kinesthetic, we're auditory digital. And tells us how we make sense of the world. It tells us how we best work. It tells us how we best learn, all that sort of stuff. What has been missed is every one of those representational systems actually has a language library. So when somebody says, I feel as though we're speaking a different language, it's like, well, you are. You actually are. It's global, it's universal, and it's really powerful. So part of what I'm doing now is actually starting with people, first of all, to teach them that. And it changes sales results, it changes relationships, it changes families, it changes communication between executives and teams. It changes the game for people very, very quickly. It sort of takes you about 2 or 3 hours to get across the principles of it, and then it's a muscle build. It's like going to the gym. The first time you go, the PT shows you how to use the machines, but then you have to build the muscle over time to get better and better at it. And it's very much like that. And our success as individuals, teams, and organizations is always going to be predicated by our ability to influence the world around us. And we can only do that when we understand how to use our words with power, with strength, and with grace.
And I think that's so important. And I'm thinking, like, when we apply that to smart communities, it's like, particularly for local governments, I think it's so key, but something we don't talk about enough is the fact that language is really important to get people on board, whether it's leadership or whether it's people that's working, and whether it's community, because you can lose trust like that, but it takes a long time to build it. So for local governments, for example, or people working in, you know, governments working in the smart community space or stepping into the smart community space, what are some of the tips that you would have for them?
One of the things is to actually, and this isn't communication as in our language, but to be insatiably curious. So being curious about other people's worlds, you know, smart communities and technologies and platforms are moving fast, and so is the impact on us, and so is the change that it gives us. And government, local government particularly, is not set up to adapt well for that, right? So it takes time. It's a thing that needs to find its way in. So be insatiably curious. Always ask open-ended questions and always actually stop and pause and listen for the answers. If you don't know, admit it and go and find out. Go and find someone who does know. When it comes to communication with stakeholders in the government sector, actually building the ability to speak in their language is quite critical. We used it a long time ago it was a call center. So call centres are very technology-based and usually very rapid-fire, sort of 30 seconds and off the call. And we used to supply the storm season temps for Ergon, which was the electricity provider for regional Queensland. And so one of our key indicators was time to calm, because when people call in the middle of a storm or a cyclone or a flood or a bushfire, they're under stress. And by actually teaching all of our staff how to recognise the language of the person they're speaking to and slip into that language and that same language style, the time to calm reduced by 30%, right? So quite often when there's a lot of change, particularly in organisations that are not set up well for it, if we can actually connect through our language and slipping into the same language libraries, then we can actually calm a lot of the frustration and a lot of the angst that creates out of change and chaos.
That's so important. And I think, you know, similarly with smart communities, it's like if we start talking about 5G and autonomous vehicles and, oh, we're going to have all this cool technology, and people are sitting there like from the community going, I can't even like stream Netflix without it, my internet dropping out. What the hell are you people talking about? Then we lose them automatically. But if we start talking about, okay, so we've got this smart city thing, smart communities thing, we want to really leverage technology, and even maybe that's too much, but it's just like, what are the pain points that we're trying to solve? And then start with them before we even start with this list of technologies and things that we want. Because you'll lose people straight away and they'll just go, okay, great, well, you know, here's another tech project that won't include me because I can't even connect to the internet. I don't know how to use my device. I need someone to teach me how to do that. That is a smart community project. That's a digital inclusion project. And okay, it's not as sexy, but what it means is that we have more people connecting in and being able to engage in a way that suits them as well. And I mean, during the pandemic, my grandma tried to set her up with, I think I texted you, Jacqueline, at the time, setting her up with Zoom, and also that she had 3 Facebook accounts. And I was like, I called, I was like, grandma, someone's hacking you. Why are you adding me on Facebook again? She was like, oh no, I had to create another account. And I'm going, okay, I am the person that has to help her through this. So I spent 3 hours on the phone and video chat showing her, okay, click here, do this or whatever. And if I'm not the person to do that, then I'm not a smart community person, right? And that's, you know, what I had to, I guess, work through. It's just like, yeah, these are the things that are really important, because now grandma can, and it's not just that she can connect and be on Facebook. I need her to be safe, right? I need her to be safe online. I need to be able to understand that, okay, well, if someone does this, then you don't want to do that or whatever the case may be. This is our Zoom, you know, this is just our family Zoom. So this is the one you're going to connect into. Give her that basic level of literacy. And, you know, she texts me and she loves emojis and, you know, this is how we communicate. But it's that level. And I think we need to hone in more on that stuff so then we can start to think about these, you know, technology, these new technologies that will be business as usual. But if we don't bring our community along for the journey, then we're just creating this divide even further. And I think communication is so key in that, because we need to talk to a level that people can understand, but then also draws them in to go, well, actually, this is about me, and I am included in this conversation.
And that's one of the things that is really, like, one of the principles of communication was always, I must be an active listener, right? And I don't dispute that. But what the principle of communication in my world, and you've seen this play out a lot, Zoe, is any great communication starts with intense curiosity, right? So you actually have to be interested in asking questions, in waiting for the answers. That's where the listening comes in. And understanding the map of the world of the people that you want to engage with, because it doesn't matter. We've all seen this. It doesn't matter what the corporate comms plan is to all the stakeholders and the community. It doesn't matter what that is. If it doesn't land with the people it's most meant to affect. And the way that we engage, there is a thing called the charisma pattern, which is a secret instilled by, well, it's not so much of a secret if you're in the field, but movie writers and great novelists and all that sort of stuff, they use this thing called the charisma pattern. And it means that no matter who we're speaking to, we can engage everybody within the audience. But that can only be useful when we understand what is going to connect with our audience. And that is intense curiosity. And that happens with sales. It's actually when I teach sales, which is going to be a critical, critical skill moving forward, I always start with your first meeting is actually not the sale. Your first meeting is a diagnostic, a lot of questions that you use to uncover what the root cause of the actual problem is that they're trying to solve, and I even identify if you're suitable. when we're looking to speak as from a stage, it's actually asking a series of questions, first of all, about what is actually going to matter to the audience? What are we going to be able to give them to take away? And it's the same with what we see all the time. Comms around smart don't always work because they're not being smart about their comms.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And I think it's getting more and more, I guess, focused now, which is really important. But it's not, there are back to basics in a lot of stuff, but then it's new ways of how we're going to connect. And also that there's several channels that we need to talk about because, you know, some people might connect on social media or, you know, on the website or whatever, but not everyone's going to be able to do that. My grandma might need a text message or she might need a phone call or, you know, she might need several different things that can engage with her and then she can tell them the preference or whatever the case may be. And so we really need to think about our community's needs in that aspect. And we won't get it right the first time. It's actually, it's not, like you said, it's not the core, okay, well, this is what we said in the plan. We're just going to execute this. It's, okay, this is what we said in the plan. But actually, we did this and didn't really work that well. So what are we going to do now? Okay, we're going to change it. We're going to do this. We're going to, you know, change it this way or whatever. And then we'll measure and monitor the results.
And I think actually more important for our success in this, you know, in the future of smart communities, I think more important is actually to get to a stage where our skills level is such that the first comms plan rollout works. So, you know, it shouldn't be we roll it out and we go, and we've seen so many instances of that over the last 18 months where the comms plan's rolled out, it's off mark, it's tone deaf, and it just doesn't land. And then people scramble and then they do the revamp. Like realistically, we should be building the skills of communication so that we can get it right on the first go. I mean, the mismessaging that happens even through using the wrong words in, for example, this latest lockdown in New South Wales, like even using the original order of stay at home orders and if you choose to go out, don't congregate, that straight away tells people that they can go out and congregate, right? You know, one of the quickest tips to understand is when you tell someone not to do something, they have to do it first. Or if you tell someone not to think about it, they have to think about it first. So if I say to you, don't think of a blue kangaroo, you have to think of a blue kangaroo first to not think of the blue kangaroo, right? It's the same as, you know, when we get really frustrated with, for example, partners that won't take the rubbish bin out on rubbish night. And it's like, what do you always forget, right? And they don't hear, I wish you wouldn't forget, for example, might be the follow-up. And they don't hear, I wish you wouldn't. They just hear forget. So if you want to get a different result, you have to flick, I want you to remember to take the bin out. Or to your children, why is it I always have to yell at you to clean your room? Why do you always forget to clean your room? And if you change that to, I just like for once, if you could remember to clean your room, you don't have to change your tone. Parenting 101, we don't like bringing our tone down, right? But if we just change that command and remember that some of the things that we're doing, so to say to someone like Gladys did on one of her press conferences, if you do go out, please don't congregate, tells people that subliminally that they can congregate, you know, and they have to get past that thought before they remember that they're not supposed to. So we inadvertently give the wrong instructions to people through not paying attention to our words.
Mm. And I think that's really key too, that if we can build some of those skills now that we can roll this stuff out. And, you know, it is a change. And we see people doing it really well. And we see brands doing it really well because they understand it. Whereas then when we try and, you know, emulate that in different settings, it doesn't work because we don't necessarily have those skills. And not that we have time to go into it, but it brings a huge, huge thing around, you know, that talent retention and talent, you know, actually getting those talented people to come into the places that can really influence the community. And not that we have time to go into that, but I think that's really key as well. Now, I want to go to the future because we don't have much time left, but I want to go to what are the emerging trends that people aren't talking about enough?
I think we're actually not talking about the fact that in Australia, we actually do have a very big digital divide. We are not talking about that enough. Everything just assumes that everybody has connectivity and we actually don't have great connectivity rates across Australia. We have pockets of exceptional. So I think that is something that is always going to limit our growth. I think also too, we have become too blasé with the word disruption. Everything's a disruption. Everything's chaos. Everything's critical change. It's like, you know, incremental shifts is actually where the game is won. So it's not this massive blow up. It's not this massive emergence of something. It's not this incredible innovation that changes the world forever. And this applies really to bringing the connectedness in a smart community. It's all these incremental shifts that add up to an incredible change. And so I think we're overusing disruption, we're overusing, you know, chaos, and we're overusing all of that. We've become very dramatized in our language. And I think we need to stop that. That's two of the things I think we're not talking about enough. And the third thing is we are actually not talking about enough that our language and our communication skills, our ability to influence the world, is going to be more and more critical the smarter that our communities get.
Yes, the smarter that our communities get, which is really key, because we are, you know, we're not talking about necessarily technology there. I mean, obviously technology can be an enabling part of that, but the smarter our communities get, they're not going to be fooled by these things that potentially could fool us in the past, right? And they're going to be asking the questions that are important. Okay, that's great. So what are you doing with my data? Okay, that's great. But why aren't I getting, you know, some kind of service for what I'm offering here, or whatever the case may be? Or that's great. What's happening with that? Who's looking after that footage, or whatever the case may be? And I think those questions are great questions, and we need to have answers for them, but it will build over time. And I think that ability to be able to communicate those is really key, because anyone can put something out there, but we know that the traction is gathered by the ability to be able to really speak the language of the audience that you're trying to engage with.
Yeah, absolutely. And the messaging, you know, and also to our chatbots, for example, are now, even to 2 years ago, are so much more sophisticated. So if we're not careful with the language we're putting through the AI that underpins those chatbots, then the language actually becomes discriminatory, it becomes offensive, it becomes confusing. And that's also where we need to actually really lift the ante when it comes to our communication skills.
Agreed. Okay, we're going to have to wrap up because we're nearly at time. Well, actually, we're over time, let's be honest. But it's
that's unusual for us.
That's unusual. It's been really great to chat with you. And I know that, you know, we talk quite a lot, but it's been great to have this conversation on the podcast. Finally, I've been meaning to get you on the podcast for a long time. And it's a bit of a different one, but it's so important because I think no matter who you are listening to the podcast, communication is key, right? Whether you're a local government, whether you're an innovator in this space, whether you're a startup, whether you're a student, whether you're, you know, whoever you are, communication is so key. So thank you so much, Jacqueline, for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you, Zoe.
I just have one last question, which is, how can people connect with you?
So Jacqueline Nagel-1 on LinkedIn is my favorite place to connect with people. And my website can be stalked at jacquelinenagel.com. There is a new brand coming very, very soon. But if you connect with me on LinkedIn, you'll see that.
Excellent. We will put the links in the show notes so people can click away and find you. Thank you again for coming on to the Smart Community Podcast.
Thank you so much, Zoe.
We'll talk soon. Bye.
The Smart Community Podcast is brought to you by My Smart Community. If you're looking for support in podcast strategy and production, workshop design and facilitation, or communication and media advisory, get in touch. Email hello@mysmart.community or head to www.mysmart.community.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.